The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer, TNA Hall of Famer, and the greatest tag team wrestler of all time, Bully Ray and I talk to CEO of MLW, Court Bauer. We talk about the relationship with Vice, and also we talk about the big battle riot that's taking place July 2nd at the old ECW Arena in Philly. And speaking of the old ECW Arena, Bully and I walk down the road of reminiscing about that old school historic building right now on the Busted Open Podcast.
You were part of WWE Creative at one time, correct?
I can neither confirm or deny. No, yes.
Oh, okay. We always talk about creative on the show, yeah. And you know, we really never put the heat on the wrestlers. We put it on creative because there's things that we just don't understand, things that we know we would like to see, and we, you know, ram our head up against the wall. We talk about creative writing for an audience of one. And I know that's the way it is. Was that your experience also when you were part of WWE Creative?
Yeah, so there's some weird things that, first of all, I thought the going into WWE, I didn't have a writing background. I kind of did a stumble bumble booking thing until Terry Funk helped me along, and then Gary Hart helped me. Terry put me in contact with Gary, probably because he didn't have the patience for me. But going to WWE, a lot of the people there had a writing background. There are some real lifelong fans that love the business. Very few had any experience in it. And then you had kind of like the sounding boards, which were guys like Ted DiBiase in my time, Dusty Rhodes, Michael Hayes, Bruce Pritchard. People have been in the business at a different level. Paul Heyman was kind of in and out. So it was a unique dynamic. And so you had people that I remember one time were sitting there and we're thinking about this angle and these two guys who wanted to do something with. And Dusty just goes, man, we need to get some heat. And a writer goes, what's heat? And Dusty, as he could, he was so great at like selling something. He went back and like almost looked like he was going to fall out of his chair. And then Teddy DiBiase smiled and just shook his head looking down. But the concept of heat wasn't something that a lot of the guys understood or knew. But at the end of the day, and it took me some time to kind of understand the creative team, you are ultimately just a suggester to an audience of one, and then the family surrounding him, which kind of amplifies and cheerleads that kind of dynamic. So, you know, it's like some people struggle with it. Some people fight it. Some people try to get, you know, try to work around that. It's a real weird experience. Vince taught us a lot, taught me a lot, but at the same time, you do realize it's like, is your obligation to the fan? Is your obligation to your boss and the chairman? And the answer is it's both. And you try to navigate those waters to the best of your ability. So you give the fans the best product. You try to check off the boxes that the boss wants you to check off. And even if you can successfully do that, then there's like an agent meeting. Then the head writer writes the script. And then you go to the production and stuff. And then by the time it actually airs, it has mutated so much from whatever the original intent was. It's like, I don't know what to tell you. And there are,
and don't forget, the boys got to throw in their two cents too, because they got to be comfortable with it.
Of course. And then there's stuff you don't know about that you're told, like, yeah, we can't push that guy now. And we have no idea what has happened. We don't know if there's a contracting issue. We don't know if there's just a guy has heat for some random reason. Or we're just told, like, he's on the do not disturb list. So, like, oh. But it's always then kicked back. Well, Creative has nothing for you. It's like, no, that's honestly, Creative always has something for someone. It might not be the best idea. It might be a horrible idea, and you wish they didn't have something for you. But that was an excuse built out of talent relations to pass the heat, especially when you're firing someone. Instead of saying, hey, man, you just, you know, you're a pain in my ass, or, you know, we can't do payroll with you on it right now at this moment, whatever the issue is. But, you know, Creative having nothing for you. Imagine they said that to Vince. What would Vince say? Okay, is the wrestler gone or are you gone? Because it's your obligation to have Creative. So you think Vince is just going to shrug that off and say, yeah, okay, that's understandable. Why would you have Creative for that guy? I'm only paying you to do that. That never made sense to me.
You know what, Court? Thank you for that answer, because I think you actually answered a lot of questions by just that one answer. So we appreciate that honesty. Thank you so much. But let's get into MLW, because, Court, the last time that we spoke and the last time you were on Busted Open, obviously a different time than what we're dealing with right now. Things were a lot different. You know, we were on lockdown. There were no fans in attendance. And I know you had plans in place for once we got out of this pandemic, but now we're starting to get out and things are opening up again. And it seems like the world of MLW is opening up as well.
Yeah, we're really excited to get back in and start building out our touring schedule, which we're starting to do. A lot of buildings have been closed. It's been really difficult. So that's been the most exciting thing, is just trying to just rush to get those dates on the calendar, because you're competing with touring concerts, which is going to rev up big. You're competing with all conventions, all these different things, because people are all just running to take those dates. So we're trying to get the dates as fast as we can. And we were really lucky. We just kept sliding our 2300 arena show. That was one of the big shows we canceled last summer, and it was supposed to feature the Battle Riot. And so I didn't think that would be our first show back before a crowd, but 12 months later, that's the first show back before a crowd, and we're excited to have that July 10th with our 40 wrestler Battle Riot. We'll have some title fights on the card, and that will kick off our new season. Then we slide into the fall when we kick off our new season of Fusion in September. So we're excited about that. So we'll have this big loud tent pole this summer, and then get ready for the fall, which everything will be back to normal by the fall, which we're excited about.
Court, what do you feel you need to do with MLW to kind of carve out your spot in wrestling today? You have obviously have the WWE and AEW, but then right below that, you know, there's Impact, there's the NWA, there's Ring of Honor, obviously MLW. What do you need to do, whether it's on that first show or moving forward, to put MLW on the map and have it talked about the same way we talk about any other company on this show?
Right. Yeah. It's like when I entered this thing and relaunched MLW in 2017, you know, there was this one billionaire and he was kind of doing his own thing. Now you got two billionaires, then you have a multi-multi-multi-millionaire in Canada with Anthem Sports, and then you have a multi-billion-dollar Sinclair Broadcasting with assets all over the place and 100-plus channels. You know, it is a very competitive space. Everyone has a different product. Some of the competition's very predatorial. Some of it's very easygoing. So it's a really weird kind of mixture. And so you got to elbow yourself into that conversation and get something going. And our style is great. We showcase that a lot. Doing right now is just focused on bringing in bigger, higher profile talent, because, you know, this is a star-driven business. It's a cliche, but it's a fact. It's a star-driven business. We have the best wrestling in the game, and we're the best kept secret in the game, but I don't want that to be always the case. And the way you get noisy is because of big stars. And the bigger star you can bring in, the more awareness, the more interest. People love familiarity. There's a reason why, even if the movie sucks, people go to see a Brad Pitt movie, because it's Brad Pitt. It gets a lot of energy. People want to talk to them in the media. Same thing applies in sports. Same thing applies in wrestling. That principle is always going to be the case. So that's one of my biggest priorities this summer, is just to pump up the volume, and that's with more star power, because I think the star, there's a lot of great star talent still out there in the free agent market, and you combine that with what we have in-house, which is fantastic, and I think that kicks you into high gear.
Do you have the finances to get those higher profile star talent?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, everyone has a different price tag and what you can do. We've been very creative with how we get there. And my biggest obligation this year is really focused on media rights. With WWE exiting, all their talks with Nick Khan doing an incredible job with that Peacock deal, which was huge, and having their Fox deal and everything, they're locked. They're off. They're not doing any current media rights deals. And AEW's got a great deal with Warner Media or Warner Brothers Discovery now. So that there's still some interesting plays out there. We're with Vice. We're having some really interesting discussions and with a few other potential partners in the streaming space. And so, yeah, those media rights deals kind of dictate budget. And that allows us to kind of open up our budget, which, of course, is always what we want to do, because you want to have the best production. You want to have the best bell-to-bell product. You want to have the best staff and infrastructure you can. And that's a byproduct of your revenue stream. And the biggest revenue stream right now is media rights. So everyone says, oh, we're always talking about deals, whether it was Vice or DAZN or Fubo Sports, all that stuff. You know, that's the stuff that really is the lifeline of the business in terms of keeping the lights on. If you don't have those deals, you know, it can get, you get into some shallow waters pretty quickly.
How happy are you to be a part of the Vice family, you know, with Dark Side of the Ring and the China documentary that's coming out on Vice tonight? Like, people now know Vice and the relationship with pro wrestling. So how happy are you that you're a part of that channel?
You know, it's a great channel. I love Dark Side and everything Evan and his partner on Dark Side have done. And the people at Vice, I had a call with the head of the network 2 days ago, and they really understand wrestling in a way, and they're supportive of it in a way that I haven't seen. I've had a lot of meetings with a lot of people, like, yeah, wrestling. I'm not a fan. And then they say something, you're like, oh, yeah, you watch. You just don't want to acknowledge it, which is such a turnoff to me. You want people that are not going to have, like, well, we'll try this because we know it brings eyes to us, and okay, sure, but they're holding their nose when they take wrestling. You want someone that's going to be really invested in it, and frankly, Vice, the data all points to their most successful programming is wrestling. Now, they've been around for a while. What's driving that channel has been wrestling, which it says a lot about wrestling. I mean, wrestling's always been at the vanguard of TV, the 50s with black and white, and the Dumont era with Gorgeous George, with the advent of cable, syndication, pay-per-view, streaming. Wrestling was at the forefront, and there's a reason why. It brings eyes to the table. It's that simple. I mean, everyone also involved in wrestling is promoting it. The main event guys are going out there promoting it. Now you have social media, so everyone's getting noisy about it. And that's what everyone wants now, because there's so much competition in TV, whether it's linear, streaming. You need people. You need a product like that can get out there and has a whole roster to get activation going, get it talked up.
Court, as I'm sure you know, and maybe our fans that don't know, in order to succeed in the pro wrestling business, you need, as a company, you need talent and you need television. It sounds like you're on the cusp of getting some, you know, great television deals and getting the MLW name out there. But let's talk about your roster. Let's talk about your talent. Moving forward, who are the four corners of MLW? Who is the talent that is going to carry your company forward, and why do you think they will?
So I typically have like the Fusion Five. So it's like kind of based around like a rotation of five guys. If one goes down, you don't, you know, God forbid Vince lost Hulk Hogan in 86, what would have happened? You know, you always want kind of like a bit of a mixture of guys. My core guys are Jacob Fatu. I mean, he is pound for pound just a freak. He's amazing. There's a reason why we keep doing bigger deals with him. As soon as we, you know, can expand our budget, we always knock on his door, say, hey, Oos, let's figure this out. And he's got the killer instinct, which a lot of wrestling doesn't have anymore. I used to love the killer instinct because this is a work, but when that guy connects with you in the crowd, you're like, man, that guy could F me up. And then that guy's street certified. He's a badass. And you don't have that level of suspension of disbelief and that credibility in a guy like you have in Jacob Fatu. I mean, I watched, you know, the old Chicago ECW shows where Bubba and Devon and the Dudleys would cause a riot, and you could feel it. Like, it started with, yeah, we hate these guys. And all of a sudden it becomes this very visceral, very intense thing. And there are guys hopping over and you're saying, bring it. There's this thing that happens that triggers it. And Fatu has caused me almost one riot in Chicago. Tom Lawler got heat on the Von Erichs in Dallas. They were throwing in massive industrial Rubbermaid garbage cans into the ring. Everyone thought that was a plant. Like, yeah, that would be a great idea for us to have a plant throw one of those in. That heat's important. Von Erichs are another key part of the company. They are incredibly special guys, and they have really developed in the last two or so years. And they are part of our franchise play. You know, they have opened up Texas in a major way. We're going to have over maybe 2,000 to 3,000 fans and maybe higher in September for our show out in Dallas. And it's growing. And they're awesome guys. They're awesome representatives. They're everything I hope they would be and then some. And Alex Hammerstone's another guy. Pound for pound, just a great wrestler, great power wrestler, kind of a classic. It reminds me a bit of Shane Douglas, a little bit of Lex Luthor or Luger. You know, he's just a mixture of those kind of qualities. We'll see a little Jericho in him. These are the guys we're building the company around. And you always, you know, have someone else coming up in the mix. But those are the four or five guys that we're focused on, along with guys like King Huertes, who's like came out hot during our empty arena shows. People just love him. His matches are some of the most viewed matches we had. So it speaks volumes about the legacy of Lucha Underground. And so we're also excited to have El Jefe Cesar Duran, formerly known as Dario Cueto in another life, also now joining the team.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
SiriusXM Fight Nation is your home for the hardest hitting combat sports talk you'll find in the world. Whether it's pro wrestling, MMA, or boxing, join the conversation with us at 877-FIGHT93 anytime from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern as we react to the hottest storylines, most intriguing matchups, and more.
Oh my God!
Your home for the best all-day combat sports talk anywhere is SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156.
You know, Bully asked you about the talent. We know it's top talent. We know that you're on Vice. And now you're going back out there in front of an audience again. And I'm really looking forward to Battle Riot July 10th in the old ECW Arena in Philly. Talk about that show and how fans could be a part of that show on July 10th.
Yeah, we're excited to kick off our new era, new season with the Battle Riot July 10th at the 2300 Arena, the old ECW Arena, which is much different than back when I first went there in 2002 when I ran my first show. Back then, you know, you probably wanted to get a tetanus shot. Now it's like they have craft beer. It's a whole different experience. It's something I don't know
if you think
or the new one.
If you think it's different from 2002, you should have been there in 95. Because you could walk out of there with syphilis and gonorrhea in the same night.
Charlie Verzeese, who was part of ECW's production, part of my production, I remember in 2002, who gave me kind of the unofficial tour. He's like, yeah, over there, that little corner, it's like a telephone booth with a shower in it. Yeah, Ray would take showers in there. I don't know what he was doing. He didn't care. It's like, oh my God, that thing looks so gross. It was a totally different thing back then. And now it looks all new. I mean, they're doing a Peyton Manning TV show in there right now. They do fashion shows there. They do everything. The ownership there is so great. They love the roots from wrestling and ECW in particular. I don't think I've ever worked with an arena that is as professional, but also so great in embracing wrestling like the folks at the 2300 Arena. Just a really special place. So part of our kind of go forward strategy is to kind of bring the product to the arena as much as we can. We'll be back in the fall. We'll be back October 2nd with the show. That's an exclusive for you guys tonight. And we just kind of want to make it one of our key towns because, you know, it's a different fan base than it was in the 90s. And even when I ran there in the early 2000s, but we noticed that anywhere we go, Chicago, Dallas, Miami, Orlando, you name it, even New York, they're the most like dialed into our product of any of those fan bases. They get everyone. They bring the signs for Injustice, all these different things. I'm like, man, these guys get it. So I want to give more to them. And I mean, just how they show love with coming out to the box, you know, buy tickets at the box office has been pretty big. So we're going to give them a big show July 10th with this 40 wrestler battle riot, which is a kind of like the Royal Rumble. 40 wrestlers in this thing. You can get eliminated by pinfall, submission, or over the top rope. So it's a little bit of a twist on it. And we had Alex Hammerstone announced as the first guy in last week. And then I'll give you guys four exclusives today on the show. And those guys are King Muertes from Aztec Underground, Caribbean champion Richard Holiday, Lee Moriarty, an up-and-coming guy from Pittsburgh, and Zenshi, double champion out of South America. And we're going to have a lot more guys.
Suplexes, knockouts, and chokeholds. SiriusXM Fight Nation is the only channel dedicated to bringing you the inside world of combat sports. Unlocking the cage with Jimmy Smith.
Time doesn't heal all wounds in sports. Winning heals all wounds.
Busted Open.
I always say life is just like professional wrestling. You are going to get knocked down a lot, but you got to keep getting up and keep on fighting.
Plus, At the Fights and MMA Today to round out the best combat sports coverage anywhere. And so much more. We bring the fight to you on SiriusXM Fight Nation, Channel 156.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Busted Open under podcast when you sign up. Busted Open under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See EarnIn.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we spoke to Billy Corgan. I loved what Billy had to say about his old school mentality when it came to the NWA and how they were going to embrace that old school mentality when it came to storylines. What I loved about our discussion with Court was one word. He mentioned one word that I thought was so refreshing to hear. You know what that one word was, Dave?
What was that?
Heat. Going for heat. Because nobody goes for heat anymore. Real heat. Legit heat. Pile on heat. Not just, oh, we'll get a little bit of heat this week, and then next week the babyface will get it back. No. Week after week after week of heat. Refreshing to hear that from a booker these days.
Yeah, and you know what? The fact, too, that this is why, Bully, we give a Court Bauer time on this show. I mean it. I want to teach our audience that there's more to pro wrestling than just what you see on the USA Cable Network on a Monday night. There's so many other different companies. And honestly, as fans, we need to support these companies because I think a lot of these companies, a la an MLW, a la an NWA, I think are doing things the right way. And the fact that a Vice TV is giving the platform to an MLW, I loved what Court said too. And believe me, I know where he's coming from when it comes to certain executives, when it comes to pro wrestling, like, oh yeah, that pro wrestling stuff. And they make it like they don't know anything about pro wrestling, but they're probably watching wrestling on a week to week basis. It becomes like the dirty little secret in the back boardroom somewhere when it comes to pro wrestling. You know, they cover their eyes, but they have their hand out. Those days should be behind us, but it really isn't. So it is refreshing to hear that Cordes has such a great relationship right now with Vice TV.
I think Vice would make a hell of a home for a wrestling show. I think they're quite liberal in what they will allow on their channel. If you've watched any of their shows before, they touch on some taboo topics, very adult-oriented topics at times. And if we can get a very real, more adult-oriented style of pro wrestling from MLW, hell, I'm on board.
Yeah. And you also talk about the storylines, and we talk about the athletics. I love the styles that's connected with MLW because they do have a lot of hybrid of styles that are connected with that show. He's listing off the names that are going to be in the Battle Riot on July 10th. You talk about completely different styles for each wrestler. I think that's a big reason why I think MLW is going to have some success on Vice.
Good pro wrestling show is like a great buffet. A little bit of everything. And Lord knows I'm an expert when it comes to buffets.
Now, I mentioned I'll be at Battle Riot on July 10th. I'm hoping that maybe some of the fans that are listening to this show will go. Maybe some fans, the first time that they go to a live event will be July 10th. For the Battle Riot in Philadelphia at the ECW. Not a bad place to see your first show would be at the old ECW arena.
And Court told us in break, I'm not sure if he was able to get it out when we were back live on the air, there's only a small handful of tickets left for that show. A very small handful. I believe there's like 40 tickets left.
Yes.
The arena is at maximum capacity. And I asked him, I go, what's your maximum capacity? Because the arena could be configured to 300 or it could be configured to 1,500. I think they're about to top out at that 1,500. And when there's 1,500 people in the ECW arena, that is one hell of a place to perform in. Great vibe, great feel, a lot of electricity in that room.
And if you happen to go to the old ECW arena, make sure you go to the men's bathroom and take a pic. I know that sounds crazy, but believe me, when you go to the old DCW arena, you want to go to the men's bathroom and you want to take a pic.
Is it an amazing, Dave, how a shithole bingo hall has probably become the most famous arena in the world? And I'll throw MSG in there.
I, with my crazy list, I love making lists. When I make a list of the most historic venues in pro wrestling, the old ECW arena is top three. I mean, you know, it could be.
So what are you doing? You're putting the Garden at one? Are you putting the Garden at one?
I would put Madison Square Garden at one.
Okay. What are you putting at two?
I would probably put the ECW arena at two and the Hammerstein at three.
Can't argue with that. So you're putting like the Hammerstein ahead of any other, like a Corrigan Hall or a Tokyo Dome?
Of places that I've been to. I've never been to the Tokyo Dome. So I'm saying for arenas and venues that I've stepped in, I mean, you know, like, cause Bully, when you go to the Hammerstein, what do you do? You look at, all right, that's where Sandman came out. You know, like there's certain sections, like, you know that building without ever actually having been in that building. So when you first walk in, you're like, oh my, this is where this happened and this is where that happened. I mean, that's what a great historic arena and venue will do. Madison Square Garden, for me, probably has to be at top for how many times I saw that on television before I actually stepped into that arena. I mean, Bully, it's closed down now and a lot of people shit on it. The Meadowlands Arena for me has a lot of historic significance, because that was the first time that A, my father took me to see wrestling, and B, the first time I took my daughter to see wrestling was in that building. So that has a lot of historic significance to it.
I always laugh when I hear people shit on ECW and what it was and what it did for the wrestling industry, and having this conversation this morning with Court, knowing all of these wrestling companies that have gone back to the arena because it's almost a guaranteed, not sellout, it's a guaranteed great room to perform in. It's so legendary. It's so historic. I don't know of any other buildings that do that. Obviously, the Garden is out of a price range. I'm talking about a smaller building. Like, if the Sportatorium was still around, would people be going out of their way to book the Sportatorium? I don't know. If the Olympic, Auditorium in L.A., is the Olympic still around? No.
I think it's still, I don't think they run shows, but I think it still stands.
My point is, that little bingo hall at the corner of Swanson and Rittner is pretty special when it comes to this wrestling business.
Because I think, and here's why, and it kind of ties in.
Because a revolution was started there. A real revolution. The original revolution. That's why.
I agree with you. And Bully, that's why I'm hoping that a lot of fans start like a new story, a new chapter. We talk about, you know, we talk about Vegas and we talk about SummerSlam. We talk about the Arthur Ashe Stadium for AEW in September. Like, I'm hoping news stories are told. Bully, I'll be honest with you. When I think of the Meadowlands Arena, I think of the Madison Square Garden, I think of my father. I think of being a little kid. When I think of the ECW Arena, I ain't thinking about my father. I ain't thinking about a little kid. I'm talking about probably, you know, at the Rite Aid down the street from the old ECW arena, me throwing up in front of there. Like, I'm talking about where I would take a piss, you know, before walking into the old ECW arena. Like, I'm talking to, you know, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a different stage in your fandom. You know, that was, you know, taking the drive from Hawthorne, New Jersey to Philadelphia to go see a show there. It's not the polished Madison Square Garden. It's the shitty club where you first see a band. Like, that there's such a mystique. That's why I say make sure you go to the men's room at whatever it's called now to take that picture. And what a great place to take that. Like, is it, how fitting is it? It's the men's bathroom that you have to go to take that picture that is going to last a lifetime as a wrestling fan.
So much history. Such a cool place. You got to go there and experience it for yourself. If you're a parent or a sibling who was at the ECW arena back in the day and you have younger wrestling fans in the house, go out of your way to try to get tickets for July 10th for Battle Riot and MLW.
I just remember being in the old ECW arena where I parked my car and just hoping that my car was going to be there when I left the venue.
Dave, it was bad when I first got, it was atrocious. I mean, you stuck to the floor because the piss and the beer, the place so ratty. Ed just chimed in my ear. It was the CBGBs of the pro wrestling industry. And if you ever been to CBGB, you know what I mean. Where the Ramones and Blondie and Lou Reed all, you know, came up and performed. You know, like, you can't beat a great dive bar. Little hole-in-the-wall dive bar. You can't beat the ECW arena.
Yeah, and when Bully says it was a revolution, and we hear that now with AEW, but you know, in the middle of that Monday night war between these two corporate billionaire companies with Ted Turner's WCW and Vince McMahon's WWF, like, the people that were getting pushed out was the common man. The common fan was kind of like not even in the equation in this big corporate fight. That's how ECW grew from the ashes of that. That was where, like, you know, it was, you know, fuck WWF. and fuck WCW. I'm an ECW guy. Like, that's where it was truly a revolution. By the way, at the hottest time in the pro wrestling business.
Dave, when was the last time you ever saw the WWE do business with an outside company? And when I talk about the WWE, I'm talking Monday Night Raw.
It was,
the last time you... In 1997, Vince McMahon picked up the phone and called Paul Heyman and said, I want you guys at Monday Night Raw. The real invasion angle, not the bullshit invasion angle that happened later on. Why did Vince, the owner of the WWE, invite ECW, this little punk-ass, shitty bunch of hobos? Why did he invite us there?
Because he understood. He knew. It had the younger audience. It had that diehard, hardcore audience. It was a revolution, and they wanted to be a part. It had the edge that they so desperately needed at that time.
And after that Monday Night Raw, and after the business with, I think, Taz jumping the rail, and Sandman and Dreamer, and no, Taz didn't jump the rail. Sandman threw the beer in Savio Vega's face. After all that stuff, what did Vince McMahon do shortly after that? He came on the air and said, we're changing the way we do things around here.
Yep.
You don't think that that was all ECW's doing? The haters are going to say no, but that's the truth. And I will never allow the narrative to be changed, and I will never allow history to slag on ECW or never give it the credit that it deserves. I don't live in the past with this stuff, but I also don't grant people a pass when they kind of slough it off. Bruce Pritchard always sloughs off ECW. My very good friend of mine, Eric Bischoff, at times on social media, will say something about ECW, and I will hammer him for it. It is what it is. It was what it was. It burnt out. You know, it's better to burn out than fade away. And we burned out.
Yeah.
And in that burning out process, we left out a legacy.
And that's why so many fans were so angry when the WWE tried to restart ECW in their own image, and how far it was from the original ECW. You can't even compare it. But that's why you have so much hate and anger at times, is because of that. It meant something to people. It meant something to me.
Dreamer will go on record to say that the reason Vince started ECW up again in the WWE, and I'm not talking about One Night Stand or One Night Stand 2, I'm talking about the actual third brand, was to kill it off. Take it out back, put a bullet behind its head, and kill it off, because he was so sick and tired of hearing ECW chants at his shows. And before the pandemic hit, we started to hear the spattering of AEW chants.
Yes.
And that's when I knew that AEW was onto something. Unfortunately for AEW, this COVID thing came around. Well, for the whole world, COVID came along at the wrong time, you know, but it is what it is.
Well, and we'll see if they can get that momentum and that buzz back, because you know what? I think it's desperately needed right now in the pro wrestling business.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Podcast Network. The executive producer is Ed Robinson. The associate producer is Gabby Laspisa. Andy King is the director of sports podcasting for SiriusXM. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Marissa Rivas.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.